To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for the final episode of our trilogy detailing the life and foul undeath of the traitorous Primarch, Mortarion. We are all aware of this malign figure, born of the Emperor's own DNA, first intended to lead humanity through the stars with his brothers, carrying all of mankind upon their backs to secure our birthright as the rightful lords of this galaxy. But fate, being an ever fickle and capricious force, was never to be content with this oh so grand of plans. For you see, it was during the wake of the Great Crusade, where the War Master Horus cast aside his ties to humankind, choosing to abandon the light of the Emperor in favor of seeking power and strength from the dark gods of the warp. Rather sadly, the arch-traitor was not alone in this endeavor, and in fact, he was successful in swaying 8 of his fellow Primarchs to join in his cause. The heretical forces, amassed beneath the dark banner of chaos, could hardly be held at bay. And so, with the turning of the 31st millennium, they launched an attack upon the young Imperium, and all of mankind was plunged into the bloodiest war it had ever known. Though indeed the turncoats were unsuccessful in their mission of overthrowing the Emperor, and though Horus himself was slain in his fated duel, it did not mean that the forces of chaos were entirely expunged from our stars. The shattered legions retreated from Terra, seeking refuge in the nightmarish realm of the warp, where they have slowly but surely rebuilt their strength, now being poised to once again drown out the galaxy in flames. But now, with the stage set and humanity vulnerable, I do believe that we should learn of the grand return of the fallen savior of Barbarus, who emerged from the warp in the chaos of the 42nd millennium to wage a truly nefarious campaign known to Imperial scholars as the Plague Wars. In brief, this was the first time that Mortarion had successfully reunited the shattered legion of the Death Guard, who were set on a bloody course towards the pristine system of Ultramar, to corrupt and infect the birthplace of the Ultramarines with only the foulest of Nurgle's plagues. To best understand this topic, we will start with a short prelude to the conflict, showcasing the state of both Mortarion and the Death Guard, and of why they chose to launch this horrific campaign. After, we will cover the bulk of the war, which came to its climax with the Great Duel, fought between the undead Primarch of Barbarus and the newly revived Lord of Ultramar. To end, we will then look over the aftermath to this conflict and of the resulting chaos left in the wake of the Death Guard. As a brief note before we begin, I must note that the actual chronology of the Plague Wars is a rather contentious issue amongst scholars. At one point, it was considered to have occurred around 100 years after the Indomitus Crusade was launched, and most would agree that the invasion of Ultramar marked the end of Gilliman's renewed campaign. But more recent sources suggest that the Plague Wars were launched only 12 years after the beginning of his crusade. Regardless, though, either date would still mean that the invasion was sparked during the opening years of the 42nd millennium. But there is much to discuss on this topic, and so I do believe that it is now time for us to begin. This tale will take us across the breadth of our galaxy, but unfortunately, we must begin in the nightmare of the Eye of Terror, for it is here, in the roiling madness of the warp, that Mortarion lurked, and it is where he first produced the noxious agents to be used in his Plague Wars. To begin, let us recall that in our prior episode, that the treacherous Herald of Nurgle, now named as Typhus, had betrayed and exploited the trust of his gene father to infect the entirety of the Death Guard, with Mortarion included, with the pernicious plague of the Destroyer Hive. With its imbuement, the mortal Primarch fell to a state ever so close to death, only for him to be revived as a demon prince by the Lord of Flies and God of Death, Nurgle. As he ascended as an immortal being of the warp, the fetid and decayed corpses of his legion, once struck down by malady, were also spurred back into life, though their bodies were to now forever bear the scars and marks of plague until the end of time. Typhus, architect of this duplicitous transformation, still harbored an inescapable disgust at Mortarion, seeing his apprehension towards the gifts of Nurgle as being a clear admittance of the craven cowardice that had since corrupted his very soul. Thus, the first captain assembled a large portion of the corrupted Death Guard and set out on a campaign of his own, abandoning the Primarch, seeing him as being no longer fit to lead the mighty and ascended sons of Barbarus. With that said, the two did both fight upon Holy Terra during the chaotic siege, though there was very little in the way of amicability to be found between the deceptive herald and his wayward lord. As we all know, this battle was eventually won out by the Imperial forces, prompting the traitors, with the Death Guard included, to flee from the broken cradle of humanity, finding safety in the immaterial wound of the Eye of Terror. Here, in this realm of gods and demons, Mortarion proclaimed his ownership over the so-called Plague Planet, a place which was soon to become his new home. At one point in time, this world had been formed by the Eldari, who named it as Eliathada. Since the fall of their civilization, however, the planet was lost to the warp, where it was since corrupted and infested with pernicious entities seeking only death and destruction. It is said that once the flag of the Death Guard was planted, that Mortarion channeled the energies of the Immaterium to reshape this world, erecting huge mountains and shaded valleys so that it would resemble his old home of Barbarus. But I digress, for even though they now held a new planet, all was not well within the ranks of the Death Guard. As we discussed, Typhus had already stolen away a host of the 14th, who agreed with the sentiment that Mortarion was an ill-fit, spineless recreant to their new god of plague, and thus would no longer look to him as their leader nor gene father. To make matters worse, the Primarch was content to simply reside within his personal quarters upon the plague planet, barking out orders to his subordinates to launch minor excursions into real space without ever actually committing himself to battle. As a result of this, more of his legion felt that he had become lost since his ascension, and so it was not uncommon for contingents of the Death Guard to simply vanish from their base, with mighty champions forging their own warbands and destinies out in the inky depths of space. In time, Mortarion almost entirely abandoned his care for the material realm, choosing instead to pledge his strength to the shifting tides of the warp, caring very little for the fates of his shattered legion. With that said, it was not unheard of for the Primarch to emerge on rare occasion if it meant that he would somehow further his immaterial goals. For instance, during the 36th millennium, he led a small contingent of the Death Guard to corrupt the ecclesiarchal world of Sanctia, which entirely fell from their invasion in less than a day. As a notable point of shame, however, during the 41st millennium, Mortarion once again crawled his fetid corpse of a body into reality, engaging himself in a conflict known as the Battle of Cornovin. After waging his warpath through a nearby sector, the Primarch was eventually halted by the assembled chapter of the Grey Knights, led by their supreme Grand Master, a venerable marine known as Geroniton. This master, slain in single combat by the Pale King, was soon to be replaced by Kaldor Drago, who stepped forth and uttered Mortarion's true name. All demons are said to hold a secretive true name which bind them to their patron god, but if spoken aloud, then it can be used to shackle them to a new master or to simply destroy them entirely. As the name was spoken, Mortarion's body writhed and fell to ruin, allowing Drago to leap up and rip his pulsating heart from out of his rapidly decaying body. Seizing this final opportunity, Drago drew a short blade and engraved the name of the fallen master, Geroniton, into his rotten heart before banishing the decrepit Primarch back into the chaos of the warp. From this slight, Mortarion once again fell into isolation upon the plague planet, but as the 41st millennium slowly came to its end, an event transpired within the southeastern fringe of the galaxy, which invariably brought the fallen Primarch's attention back to the tides of the material realm. We can claim that there were two reasons for the Death Guard to invade the Ultramar system, and the first would revolve around the reawakening of the Primarch of the 13th Legion, Robut Gilliman. Once bested in a duel with the demon Primarch Fulgrim, the dying lord of the Ultramarines was recovered and suspended in a stasis field, forever preserved in the exact moment where his heart beat its last and where death overtook the child of the Emperor. For 10,000 years, he had teetered over the precipice of the beyond, but it was during the closing years of the 41st millennium that a true miracle occurred. The mysterious Tech priest, Belisarius Call, had in secret been working on a method for reviving the fallen Primarch, a task given to him by Gilliman himself in the days where he still walked amongst the living. Upon a most fateful day, sure to now go down in history, the priest proved himself as being worthy of such a monumental task, as in fact, the Primarch Gilliman, victorious Lord of the Ultramarines and avenging son of the Emperor, finally awoke from death. In the following years, he consolidated control over the battered realm of Ultramar before launching the so-called Indomitus Crusade as a means of reuniting the galaxy, now cleaved in twain by the great rift of the Cicatrix Maledictum. But with his rebirth, the brilliant effulgence of his soul sent a ripple through the warp, a ripple which caused a great deal of ire in the scarred heart of Mortarion. He had once believed that his duties lay in the plane of the Immaterium, but with the surprise of the galaxy cracking in two, and with the return of a brother who Mortarion had always considered as stiff and dreary, he was once again to be pulled back into the material lands of the mortal whelps. But the second reason for the sparking of the plague wars was not to relate to the fickle and pathetic desires of the Emperor's wayward children. No, it was ordained by the gods themselves. Nurgle, Lord of Plague, Pestilence, and Death, had spied from his Garden of Putrescence a beautiful realm of the galaxy, pristine and perfect in its glory. This was Ultramar, a system of 500 worlds ruled over by the Ultramarines chapter of the Space Marines. And it was a prize which Nurgle desperately wished to claim. The god sought to engulf the entire region in a colossal warp storm before plucking his chosen worlds from their orbits, stealing them away to his personal plane of the warp, where they would be corrupted and infested into a disgustingly glorious state of decay. Thus, Nurgle cast his plagues into the cosmic winds, and as the Great Rift tore reality asunder, he sent his demonic envoys to muster the scions of chaos, for the time was now ripe for a great war to reach Ultramar. But in any case, with these two incentives, Mortarion, greatest of champions to Nurgle, set aside his immaterial plans and began to work on his strategy for toppling one of the greatest of realms the galaxy had ever seen. First, dissent and misery would need to be sown throughout the system. Chaotic cults dedicated to death, decay, and corruption were seeded throughout the surrounding stellar regions to Ultramar. Emboldened by the direct support of the Plague Father, many of them were ultimately successful in overthrowing the yoke of imperial rule, condemning the innocent populace to be consumed by pernicious plagues and loathsome maladies. It is important to note that the Ultramarines were already undermanned within their home system, as a portion of their chapter had been sent to accompany their Primarch on his newly launched Indomitus Crusade. Thus, the remaining companies, some at less than half of their original strength, formed strike forces and combat patrols, which were to be scattered throughout the nearby star systems, purging the afflicted worlds from their chaotic taint. Though these tactical movements were indeed logical and sound, their deployment now meant that the vast majority of their chapter was stationed outside of the realm of Ultramar, meaning that their homeworlds were now vulnerable and ripe for the taking. Rather unfortunately, the Ultramarines, though true exemplars of the Codex Astartes, were not entirely successful in their retributive campaign. There were simply too many worlds under attack, and not enough of the Marines to respond to every cry for help. And so, as time dragged on, it seemed as though this region would soon be lost to chaos. What began as a handful of isolated planets soon blossomed into a sprawling region comparable in size to a minor stellar empire. To make matters worse, as each new world fell to chaos, they were to be transformed into corrupted strongholds to Nurgle, pocked with miasmic portals to the warp, out of which spilled the plague marines of the Death Guard, who had now set their sights upon the realm of Ultramar. This new zone of chaos grew at such a prodigious rate that the Imperials were forced to admit that this expanse, once thought of as peaceful, was now lost to the apostles of Nurgle, and as such, they bequeathed the systems with a new name, the Scourge Stars. Thus, at this point, with the Ultramarines spread thinly throughout the region, Ultramar had been left woefully undefended and was now surrounded by star systems pledged to the worship of the darker powers. As the Scourge Stars grew in strength, they were soon to be used as a mustering point to the scions of Nurgle, who had bided their time long enough and were now poised to lead their attack and drown Ultramar in a rising tide of rot and death. At this point, on the eve of battle, we will find that there were three primary hosts of Nurgle, each leading a truly titanic warband, and each competing with the other for the glory of stealing this jewel of the Imperium to act as a great gift for their festering god. The first was led by none other than the demon Primarch, Mortarion. Now once again fixated on the shifting tides of the material realm, he had garnered the renewed respect and attention of his shattered legion. The stray warlords and marines of the Death Guard had flocked to the plague planet to see the putrescent form of their gene father, emboldened by the knowledge that they would soon march alongside the savior of Barbarus, just as they had over 10,000 years ago. The second host, however, was led by the infamous Herald of Nurgle, whose duplicitous actions had damned the entirety of the Death Guard to their new fates, as walking effigies to the plague father. I would, of course, be referring to the former first captain, once known as Callus Typhon, though now named simply as Typhus. Since their retreat into the Eye of Terror, and since Mortarion fell into lonesome isolation upon the plague planet, Typhus had arguably ascended as the new master of the Death Guard, dethroning his Primarch in all but his namesake. He had led his own steadily growing warband from the Terminus Est, the old flagship of the Legion, ever since the days of the Horus Heresy, and over the long years, his list of deeds had grown ever more bloated and glorious. So pernicious and destructive was his warpath that the god of death, Nurgle himself, invited Typhus to stand within his garden and even permitted the captain to dip his rusted man-reaper scythe deeply into his bubbling cauldron of plague, forever imbuing that chosen weapon with the innate essence of rot. Billions have since fallen before him, with his rampant contagions turning the populations of entire systems into mindless plague-bearers and zombies at a scale which not even Mortarion was said to have accomplished. Because of his clear infamy, many within the Death Guard had shifted in their beliefs and now agreed with Typhus in that the old Primarch Mortarion was a haggard, craven fool who couldn't possibly be seen as fit to rule over the mighty Barbaran Legion. The third host of Nurgle was arguably as large, if not larger than the amassed forces of the Death Guard, as this grouping was made up almost entirely of demons. This bloated and fetid mass of demonic flesh was headed by the great unclean one, Kugath, the Plague Father. At one point, he was but a humble, bubbling little Nurgling, nesting atop the blistered shoulder of the god of pestilence until he lost his footing and tumbled down into the great, rusted cauldron of Nurgle. Here, drowning in rot, he simply opened his little mouth and drank down his fill of plague until the cauldron was empty and the little Nurgling was now a bloated greater demon formed entirely of plague and death. Nurgle, upon seeing this, let out a haughty laugh, thrilled at his newest creation, and ever since that day he has been the favored child of the Plague Lord. Kugath, however, has since set out on his own warpath to repay Nurgle for having drank down what could have been his most potent disease ever formulated. In any case, the Plague Father had been summoned by the chaotic cults of corruption within the now desecrated hellscape of the Scourge Stars, and with each passing day, he simply built up his demonic forces, which had at this point been amassed to a truly horrifying size. It is important to note that there were many other, smaller forces stationed alongside these great three. Some were made up of ex-Death Guard Marines, who had formed their own virulent warbands since the Heresy, and whilst they wished to fight in the upcoming invasion, they did not want to entirely pledge themselves to either Mortarion nor Typhus. There were many smaller demonic hosts which had similarly flocked to the call of war, though their squabbling demon lords were to keep far from the gaze of Kugath, lest he absorb their might and cast their name from immaterial history. But alongside these mortal and immortal forces were two Titan legions, made up of the god engines which marched against all of mankind during the fabled days of the Heresy, now once again pledged to extinguish the fading light of the dying Imperium. In any case, at this point, the forces of Chaos saw that their targets were undefended, and so, as the great bell towers and campaniles of Nurgle rang out across the stars, the Scions of Death launched their invasion, and the Plague Wars finally began. We are not entirely sure as to the first world which fell beneath the putrescent boots of the Death Guard, but as a great tidal wave of disease The combined forces of those Nurgle-sworn heretics swept out from the Scourge stars to crash against the magnificent bastion of Ultramar. But long before any of the Marines and traitor forces actually made planetfall, Mortarion had brewed up a truly pernicious series of plagues intended to soften up the Imperial defenders to make their conquest all that much more inevitable. Utilizing a Xenos artifact known as the Hand of Darkness, gifted to him by Abaddon the Despoiler as a means of securing a prior alliance, the demon Primarch summoned forth seven diseases never before seen in the history of the material realms. Some caused the flesh of the afflicted to simply slough from their bones, whilst others were driven into a frenzied madness. But perhaps the most crippling of all was the blinding plague. Once afflicted, the victim would rapidly lose their sight, making huge swathes of the defending populace ill-fit for the vicious combat soon to come. With the cosmic winds carrying the scent of death through the void, the forces of Chaos were finally prepared to venture into the realm of Ultramar. Though even with their might, victory would be no easy feat to achieve. The planetary defense forces found upon these worlds were some of the finest across the entire Imperium, and the orbiting fortifications scattered through the realm were bristling with macro cannons and particle beams, all to soon be targeted at the encroaching traitor fleets. Also, their invasion was made ever the more challenging due to the innate differences held by the Nurglite commanders. Mortarion rasped his orders to the wider fleet, although his presence was largely overshadowed and often ignored by the Plague Marines, who favored the guidance of Typhus, Herald of Nurgle. This was made all the worse by the former First Captain, as he loudly condemned and denounced the cretinous Mortarion, stating that the old fool could never garner the same favors that Nurgle had bestowed upon him. He went on to claim that the only reason he was participating in this war was to further the goals of the Dark God, but that he would never stoop so low as to take an order from the bastard Primarch. Thus, when Mortarion ordered for a concentrated attack into the heart of Ultramar, intended to quickly claim Macragg, Typhus simply disregarded the plan and instead chose to lead his half of the plague fleet to the furthest outskirts of the stellar region to raid and plunder the most isolated of Imperial worlds. Though enraged, Mortarion could do little to bring Typhus back into submission, and so he was forced to delay his invasion of Macragg, opting instead to perform a series of raids led by plague drones and cultists. As his agents brought havoc to the homeworld of the Ultramarines, he brought his forces to the surrounding planets, sacrificing their entire populations to Nurgle before moving on, leaving a rotten trail of death in his wake. Ku'gath, meanwhile, was content to spread his putrescent arms far and wide, launching demonic incursions upon dozens of worlds, wherein which the innocent populace would be rounded up and inoculated with new diseases, all for the glory of the Plague Father. But we must remember that whilst the majority of the chaotic forces had assembled to invade Ultramar at the behest of Grandfather Nurgle, that Mortarion himself was withholding a far more secretive goal to be achieved by him alone. He still remembered the psychic ripple felt when his brother, Rabut Gilliman, awoke from death, and thus he wished to once more stand face to face with his fellow Primarch for one final time. But the demigod was on the other side of the galaxy, committed to his Indomitus crusade, and so Mortarion, the Lord of Barbarus, would need to enact a truly horrific plan to garner the attention of his reborn brother. Thus, as he moved from world to world, he infected untold billions with a plague that would reduce them into mindless zombies, yet their souls would cry out across the void, desperately begging for their savior to abandon his plight and to once again return home. Robut Gilliman, Primarch of the Ultramarines and Lord Commander of the Imperium, had been tirelessly leading his Indomitus Crusade since its first inception, but now, with word finally reaching him of Nurgle's surprise attack, he was forced to redirect his armies, ordering a portion of the Imperials to set out on a direct course for Ultramar. Many were to remain on their crusading path, but Ultramar was the jewel of Segmentum Ultima, and its loss would be too great for the wounded Imperium to endure. In any case, the armies en route to their home consisted of a dozen successor chapters, each reinforced by the newly forged Primaris Marines. Alongside were tens of Imperial Guard regiments, a vaunted brotherhood of the mysterious Grey Knights, and several preceptories of the Sisters of Battle. The rear was to be shored up by the cybernetic cohorts of the Martian Skitarii legions, accompanied by the noble households of the Imperial Knights, and even of three demi-legions of the Adeptus Titanicus. As the combined fleet exited from warp travel and slipped back into the material realm, they were forced to come to terms with the fact that the entirety of Ultramar was on the brink of death. Planetary scans revealed that hive worlds, once bustling with populations in the hundreds of billions, were now completely devoid of life, their inhabitants reduced into soulless pools of putrescent ooze. Garden worlds, agri-worlds, and feudal planets, all once dedicated to the service of one another, had been corrupted by the creeping plagues of Nurgle, leaving only a grotesque facsimile of where beauty had once been. Their star forts, previously coordinated in a vast defensive array, had been shattered by the traitor legion, and their ruins now drifted silently through the void, testament to the failures of those too weak to withstand the strengths of chaos. The first planet to be cleansed was the Hive World, known as Ardium, upon which the loyalist Primarch discovered that the newly emergent plagues of Ultramar had been created by Mortarion's Xenos artifact, the Hand of Darkness. As Gilliman purged the forces of chaos, and as he shattered a colossal plague engine within the capital, the zombified populace, once thought of as lost to their deeply set rot, were freed and cured of their deathly malady. This, however, was not a one-off occurrence. It seemed as though wherever the newborn Primarch was to walk, that the sick and the infected citizens who surrounded him would miraculously find their symptoms to disappear, almost as if his mere presence was an anathema to the plagues of the warp. Such deeds, however, were bound to garner the ire of the Pale King. Mortarion, while disappointed to hear of his diseases falling short, couldn't help but smugly grin, as it seemed as though his campaign of death and destruction had worked exactly as intended. The noble, bright-hearted Gilliman had thus far followed the exact path which Mortarion had laid with plague, and thus the Reaper of Men met with Kugath, the Plague Father, to plan out one final ambush for the Avenging Sun. But now was not the time for such a ploy, as the Imperial forces were, at this point, barreling through the Scions of Nurgle. Gilliman had launched a campaign known as the Spear of Espandor to liberate a strategically important cardinal world, which, if purged, would sever a vital link that the Death Guard were using to transport forces to and from the Scourge Stars. This path of reconquest brought many planets once lost to plague back into the fold of Imperial rule, whilst simultaneously routing the disgusting traitors from this glorious realm. The demons of Nurgle, being born of the warp itself, were innately fearless beings, with many of them having existed long before the Imperium of Man first took form, and they had enjoyed a relative sense of freedom within Ultramar, appearing and disappearing at will to desecrate or devastate their targeted worlds. However, this had all since changed since the return of Gilliman. The Primarch now wielded the fabled sword of the Emperor, a flaming blade crafted in a bygone age by the Master of Mankind, which when swung would grant even a never-born demon of the warp with the terrifyingly rare gift of a true death. The never-born horrors could scarcely comprehend the notion of real death, but they knew to fear it. And so, as the plague wars progressed, fewer and fewer of the demonic legions were willing to commit themselves to battle. If there was even the faintest rumor that this child of the Emperor would be present. The Imperial forces continued to push out through Ultramar, eventually severing the links between this realm and of the Scourge Stars, meaning that the chaotic warbands would be unable to receive their constant streams of reinforcements from their noxious bases. Similarly, as each new world was purified, the strengths of the demonic forces progressively waned, as they could no longer draw forth from the tainted powers afforded to them by the brutal sacrifices of the innocent. Sensing that victory was soon to be stolen from out of his reach, Mortarion realized that this could be his final opportunity to spring his trap, and so he mustered the forces of both Kugarth and of the reluctant Typhus and set his armies on their course to the world of Ajax. In an age long past, when Ajax was brought under the fold of the Imperium of Man, it was ordained to become an agri-world, and thanks to its innately fertile soils and fair climate, it eventually blossomed into one of the true breadbaskets of the entire segmentum. Endless fields of glistening berries stretched out over the horizon, sided by sprawling orchards and rows of plump, nourishing fruits. But that state of salubrious peace was now but a fleeting memory, as the Death Guard had descended to desecrate this luscious land of produce, transforming it instead into a noxious bog of rot. Mortarion's plan was that the destruction of this world would surely incite Gilliman to land with retributive fury, at which point the combined forces of Nurgle would strike, overwhelming and finally ending the reborn Primarch. This death would be granted by a disease formulated by Kugarth, the Plague Father, who had been permitted to concoct the deadly malady within the depths of Nurgle's own rusted cauldron. The actual disease was known as the God Blight, and from its administration, it was said that it would not only kill the Primarch in body, but that it would also annihilate their soul, erasing them from existence for the rest of time. The Pale King was more than ready to spring his trap, but unfortunately, the massive losses sustained by the Death Guard had at this point began to take their toll. The nearby Scourge Stars, once a bastion to Nurgle, were falling beneath a two-pronged invasion, sparking a new conflict known as the War in the Rift. The Imperials were still pushing back against the Scions of Chaos, but also the Gods of the Warp, jealous of Nurgle and his new realm, had chosen to use this as an opportunity to launch their own attack against the Plague Worlds. Unhappy with the current course of events, Nurgle himself pulled his demonic legions away from Ultramar, sending them to defend the Scourge Stars against his rivals. Typhus similarly saw this as proof that Nurgle had abandoned Mortarion, and so he too assembled his half of the Death Guard and vanished from Ultramar, leaving his fetid Primarch to once again stew in lonesome rage. Though perturbed, Mortarion was too close to his goal to retreat, and so the Primarch, along with Kugarth, brought together their remaining forces and orchestrated their grand plan against the Lord of Ultramar. As Gilliman landed with his forces upon Ajax, he couldn't help but suspect that this was a trap. But this world could under no circumstances be permitted to fall, and so he made the fated decision to stride through the rotten fields until he found himself standing face to face with his traitorous brother for the first time in over 10 millennia. Mortarion was no longer a man. He was a demon prince, sworn to the god of pestilence and plague. And yet, beneath the layers of filth and detritus, there was still a tiny, forgotten mote of human anguish, fated to its enslavement to the ruinous powers until the end of time itself. But it mattered little, for the two long-lost brothers fell upon one another in a duel which could only end with death. The Primarchs exchanged blow after blow, Gilliman deftly swinging the sword of the Emperor, but alas, he was to leave naught but trails of smoke in the festering air as Mortarion simply evaded each attack, leaping away with a great flap of his rancid wings. The child of Barbarus, however, was far more precise in his strikes. The Pale King, emboldened by the powers of the warp, moved at a truly unnatural pace, and slowly but surely he was able to land ever more crippling blows with his fetid scythe, until finally Gilliman fell to the ground, defeated, yet still clinging to life. Seizing this opportunity, Mortarion took up his weapon, coated in the noxious poison of the godblight, and plunged it deeply into the shattered shell of Gilliman's armor of fate. In that moment, time itself seemed to stop. Robut Gilliman, avenging son of the Imperium and reborn lord of the Ultramarines, lay back and felt the terrible yet familiar sensation of death gently cradling his broken form. His flesh, necrosed and rotted, began to sag, appearing as though it may slough off from his bones at any point. His armor began to rust, corroding down from what was once seen as an artisanal masterpiece of Mars into a tarnished heap of slag. Mortarion, in an uncharacteristic moment of care, knelt beside his dying brother and whispered for him to rest and to let go, for there was nothing more to be done, and that the grandfather would soon emerge to take away his pains forevermore. Gilliman was no longer in the land of the living. He had departed from his body, left to drift amidst the eternal darkness, though even here his once bright soul was slowly dimming, succumbing to the infection of the godblight. But then, in that realm of death, the Primarch heard a voice, not quite one, but many, calling out to him as his son. It was as if the reality of death had blurred with his recent memories of rebirth. But in truth, this was the Emperor himself, speaking out through the void, echoing into the nightmare of the warp, as his final instructions to his dying child. But they were chaotic and twisted, with the master of mankind simultaneously barking at him as a liar, a thief, and a betrayer, alongside the hope and the savior. The tempestuous storm of his voices was almost too much to endure, but suddenly his vision was cut short, and in this realm of death, a great tolling rang out, reverberating through the abyss as a ripple in the very fabric of immaterial reality. His dying body was no longer upon Ajax, nor was it lost to the void, but instead he lay within the very heart of the Garden of Nurgle. By his side, Mortarion arose, utterly bewildered by the manifestation of this deific realm of death, and yet even this would soon be overshadowed by the prophetic awakening of his fallen brother. From death did Gilliman seize life. His back cracked, arching upwards as his corroded suit of armor began to whir once more, channeling through it waves of psychic energy. The garden itself seemed to respond to each movement. With millions of flies, maggots, and demonic pests crawling themselves out of the muck to flee as far away as possible from this defiance of death. Mortarion stood frozen, unable to respond, as Gilliman opened his eyes, revealing two glowing orbs of blazing energy, weeping out with streams of pure Empyrean flame. His necrotized flesh caught alight, melting away to reveal a new layer of pristine skin whilst his armor burnt, the rust and rot going up in psychic smoke, until he once again stood pure against the plague. The reborn Primarch, carried on a pillar of glowing light, hovered high above into the fetid skies of the warp, and with a great sweep, he brought down the flaming sword of the Emperor, and the garden of Nurgle was set to the flame. In a moment, stretched to eternity, he looked down to Mortarion and let the voice of the Emperor be carried through him. He proclaimed that the child of Barbarus was a foul traitor, but that he was just as much of a victim as he was a monster. He went on to state that perhaps one day that he could find salvation, but until then he would be cursed to remain with the Dark God, who currently possessed his soul. In his final moments, Mortarion may very well have believed that this was his moment of redemption. But alas, Grandfather Nurgle himself reached out from his rotten home deep in the heart of the garden and seized the wayward Primarch in a grip of psychic energy. The Barbaran could do little but scream out as the God of Death dragged him through the muck back into his black house of plague, where he would remain trapped, potentially, forevermore. But outside, the roiling conflagration of the garden continued to grow higher and higher. Gilliman, still ascended on his ray of light, was eventually consumed. But as he drowned in fire, he opened his eyes and found that he was no longer in that immaterial hellscape, but instead he was alive and back upon the material grounds of Ajax. As he arose once more, a living denizen of the material realm, he surveyed the battlefield, and though he was met with a vista of death, it seemed as though the battle was finally at its end. Mortarion was gone, banished from this plane of reality into a new hell, where he would be forced to prostrate himself before old Nurgle himself and atone for his pathetic failings. The surviving Imperial forces, led by a tribune of the Custodian Guard, evacuated with the crippled body of Gilliman. But rather sadly, once they reached orbit, they realized that the world of Ajax could not be saved. The planet was too deeply seeded by the plagues of the Death Guard, and so, with a heavy heart, they condemned this desecrated world to die, and the sentence of exterminatus was rendered, leaving the salubrious world as an ashen, broken corpse. In the following days, Gilliman regained his strengths and retook his place at the head of this retributive force. The realm of Ultramar was to now be scoured from the taint of Nurgle, an arduous task which, in truth, will never restore the battered worlds to their prior state of glory. The chapter of the Ultramarines, now reinvigorated by their Primaris recruits, went on to launch their own crusade against the Death Guard, with the goal of entirely expunging their presence from the nearby region of the Scourge Stars. This war is still ongoing to this day, and the region continues to grow as one of the most dangerous of war zones, found anywhere within the galaxy, fought between rival gods and vengeful Astartes alike. But as we leave this realm of reality and look into the warp for the final time, we will find that the plague wars certainly left their mark upon the scions of the great corrupter. Kugath, architect of the Godblight, was himself banished during the final battle on Eax, and for his insubordination against the grandfather, he had fallen from grace, no longer standing as the favored child of Nurgle. Typhus, the herald of pestilence, had followed the word of his patron god to involve himself in the war for the Scourge Stars. But as of this date, his precise location is unknown. Often nicknamed as the Traveler, the former captain of the Death Guard may have very well abandoned this region of space, setting out on the Terminus Est with his warband in his constant goal of spreading the gifts of Nurgle far and wide. Mortarion, however, Primarch to the Death Guard, Reaper of Men, and Savior of Barbarus, was to remain trapped within Nurgle's domain until he could finally redeem himself for inadvertently bringing ruin to the plague gardens of his patron god. Like with Kugath, Mortarion had lost a great deal of respect from Nurgle, his demons, and from the wider Death Guard, who will forever remember the monumental scale of his failings. In more recent years, he has attempted to regain some form of favor with his legion by leading them on a search for the so-called Temple of Ascension. As they arrived at their destination, however, they were met by the armies of the Iron Warriors, sparking the war of rust and ruin between the rival forces, wherein which Mortarion dueled with the demon Primarch Perturabo for ownership over the prized grounds. As the battle raged, the contagious diseases and metallophagic poxes ran rampant through the ranks of the Iron Warriors, leading to such death that Perturabo was forced to concede defeat to his noxious brother. In the wake of his victory, Mortarion has since been sighted in the darkness of Imperium Nihilus, where his warbands have succeeded in conquering and corrupting dozens of vitally important worlds, condemning their populace to fall beneath the many plagues and maladies of Grandfather Nurgle. But only time will tell to see if he is one day able to shed the stains of his prior failings in the eyes of his god and arise once more as his chosen champion. Alternatively, maybe the visions of his brother will come true, and he will atone for his crimes against the Imperium, redeeming his soul before all mankind. But alas, this is an eventuality which I do not believe will ever come to pass. Thus ends our final chapter on the fetid tale of Mortarion. We have watched his birth, his calamitous upbringing, and his tragic fall to demonhood, which thus far has only led to him walking further and further down the dark path of damnation. But for now, my dearest friends, I do believe that this shall mark our close. Thank you all for listening to this dark tale in its entirety, and I hope that you have enjoyed this retelling. But for now, I must wish you all with a warm goodbye.